soul to soul, spirit to spirit. Many blessings. This morning, as I poured myself a cup of coffee and looked out my kitchen window, I noticed the little yellow daisies coming up everywhere. And I believe it's a ligustrum bush, had yellow leaves all over it, getting ready to turn bright green. The garden has lettuce coming up and cauliflower and onions. And there were busy bees all over those flowers, collecting pollen. It occurred to me that spring has arrived with its newness of life. And how beautiful. And then I looked deeper, and I could feel and sense the great invisible life that is always flowing, never changes, always able to continually manifest its blessings. And then I thought of just the isness of God. The isness of God. And that caused me to come upstairs here and sit in my meditation chair and open out a way for that isness to express itself. And the only prayer that could come to me was, "Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Let the great unmanifest Word of God manifest itself." And I sat in silence. And this talk today is what is flowing forth from that great invisible. I had no plan to make a talk today, but after that meditation, it just seemed to flow. And so here it begins. It is said that when you are in Christ, you are a new creature. A new creature. No longer just a human being, but that one who has their being in Christ. You know, I could really sum up every teaching I've ever encountered, the entire Master's, Christ Jesus's ministry, and all of my experiences, my spiritual experiences, with one scripture. If you could get this one scripture and live it, every need, every desire of your heart would be fulfilled. And the scripture is this: abide in me, and I in you. And that's it. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Abide in me, and I in you. Or, abide in me, and I abide in you. Simple little direction given to us by Christ. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. And that's it. If we live that principle, we're done. We don't need any others. Really. Honest. And so if we abide in Christ, we are a new creature. Because Christ abides in us. Now we know, most of us, as human beings, living a natural, normal life, if we want a partner, if we want a spouse, a mate, a friend, we look for the best partner we can find. Probably when we're growing up, we learn certain traits that we admire. We know pretty much what we want the other person to be. And we're taught to be, well, somewhat discriminating. I want a partner that is willing to share half of the load of responsibility. I want a partner that's positive and not negative all the time. I want a partner that enjoys life, all areas of life. Physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. And so then I go and I look for that partner. Now I may not find her or him right off. It may take some trial and error, particularly when you're still a teenager or you're in your early 20s. It may take a while. And the usual course is that my eyes land upon her, or your eyes land upon him, and bells go off inside. Something happens. There's a feeling of romance. There's an attraction. And all of those theories and ideals about what I want in a partner, they just kind of go out the window. When the human heart speaks, the mind is put on a shelf. And so here we are as teenagers or in our early 20s or 30s. Or whenever it happens, and we fall in love. That's the natural course of things. How many thousands of movies and thousands of books and stories? We fall in love. We get with that person. Oh, they're our whole world. We can't see anything else. The flowers are brighter, the birds sound sweeter, everything's wonderful, isn't it? You know, if you've had the experience, and I suppose most of us, if not all of us, have. Well, what happens? Well, it wears off, doesn't it? The initial stage of infatuation, it wears off. Now we start to see the negative aspects of that person. Things we didn't see before. Oh, I didn't know that she was like this. I didn't know he would do that. And if it gets really rough, well, we separate. We divorce. We cancel the engagement. We no longer date that person. And one way or another, we stop and we go back to the drawing board and we look again for someone that has those traits that we want. And this can go on for a whole lifetime. This can go on for a long, long time. Never finding that Mr. Right or Mrs. Right or Miss Right. In Christ, you are a new creature. What does that mean? How does that apply or pertain to finding the right partner? How does that apply to relationships? You are a new creature in Christ. Now, if you have spent time learning how to meditate to the point of attaining, or rather than attaining, let's say, to the point of resting back in a moment of stillness, to where you make the actual contact with that presence within, with that Father within, with the Christ of your being, with the infinite allness on the other side of that door within you, then you know that there really is an I in the midst of you. You are a new creature in Christ. You are turning away from the normal, natural, human ways of love. Now you are to try a new way of living. You are to come within and be still and rest in that inner presence. Realize that it is omnipresence. The presence that you feel is omnipresence. And it says to you, I am come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. So you turn within, and you rest in omnipresence. And some part of every day, you rest, and you realize, this presence will never leave me nor forsake me. This presence is omnipresence. Whither shall I go? Whither shall I flee from thy spirit? You can't get outside of omnipresence. Only now, in your meditations, it's become a real presence. No longer a theory. You feel it. You feel it. And one of these days, you realize, why, this presence is my companion. My perfect companion is within. In fact, my perfect companion is omnipresence itself. My perfect companion is everywhere. and knowing that you rest in complete comfort, you have found the Comforter within. And in your resting, in your giving up human means, in your giving up the natural way of life, in your acting, living as a new creature in this omnipresence, it manifests, it appears in your outer experience as the perfect companion. Without any effort at all on your part, you did nothing. Just one day she appeared. There she was. It turned out you had the same spiritual path in common. It turned out you both were practicing these principles. And how wonderful life is, and how beautiful. And after you've been together for a while, there are still some negative things that you see, but you recognize it doesn't matter. It's a funny thing, but they don't bother you. You see them as impersonal. You recognize you have some too. You have found that perfect mate in which you have everything in common, in which you are compatible in all areas, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. And you found that perfect mate within, not without. You found it in that omnipresence itself, and that omnipresence appeared out here, took form as a living, perfect companion. And if you're in so inclined as I was, why, you marry them, of course, and you walk down the road together, and it's beautiful. People look at you and they say, you're so lucky to have found each other. But you know better. Luck had nothing to do with it. You're a new creature. You stopped looking out there. You stopped using the normal natural ways. You turned within and found that inner omnipresence. And you rested in it, and it manifested as your fulfillment. I have come that you might have life, and life more abundant, every area of life, heaped up, pressed down, and running over. Now, you recognize what you're looking at is your own inner consciousness expressed. That's right. You heard me right. Your companion, that inner comforter, that inner omnipresence, consciousness, has manifested as your companion. And it's beautiful. It's wonderful. The search is over. Ah, but now we have an area that we feel is different. When I went to school, I was taught, if you get a good education and you apply yourself in your chosen field, you will succeed. You will make a good, well, you'll have a good career. You'll make a good salary. You'll be able to provide for yourself and your family, buy a house, have a car, or two or three, take vacations, have insurance, build up retirement or a pension, and raise your family, put them through school, have grandchildren, spoil the heck out of them, retire, and live happily ever after. Well, that's the normal, natural ways of human living. There's nothing wrong with it. And I did it. I delayed a little bit, but eventually I went back to school and got, well, 2.5 degrees. Went into my career, made a good living. And it was supposed to work out pretty good. But what happened? Well, they called it an economic recession. Back in, when was it, in the 70s? Early 80s? I think it was the 70s. And suddenly there's an unemployment rate in the nation of 18%. And the job is not there. I was laid off. Perfectly good job. I'm sorry. We have to make cutbacks, and you don't have the tenure that some of the other employees do, and so you're in this next wave of layoffs. Well, something was wrong. Something was wrong. What? You are a new creature. There's a different way to live in Christ. And so I returned to the books. I studied, I meditated, and I came to see inside, within my being, is an invisible, infinite presence, whose good pleasure it is to give me the kingdom, that is, to manifest itself. I have come that you might have life, and life more abundantly, row upon row, of every good and perfect gift. But this I, this presence, cannot manifest while I have control of the wheel, while I'm steering the boat. And so those that taught me that I must go and earn my living by the sweat of my brow or by my how clever I can be, I must have goals, I must attain those goals, I must have investments, I must have insurance, I must have retirement, I must have this and that and the other. That's a perfectly natural human way of living. But it's not the Christ way. The Christ way is to go within and open out a way for the Christ, the imprisoned splendor, to escape or to manifest. And so I had to concern myself and work diligently with the principles that could allow that to happen. Now, I didn't say the principles that would allow me to make that happen. I said the principles that would allow that to happen. And so I learned that if I make this contact every day within, with this imprisoned splendor, with this Christ, with the infinite invisible, and just remained silent, and like I did today, invite that infinite invisible to flow, to manifest its idea, its plan, its supply, to flow through my being. Well, that makes me a new creature in Christ, living an entirely different way than the rest of the world is living. And so I learned that there is no supply anywhere on earth. Just as there was no companion, no right companion that I could find, there's no supply I can find anywhere. And so the idea that I had to get this much salary, and the idea that I had to attain that position, and I had to have this retirement benefits, and I had to plan this and that and the other, all of that had to go. It has to go. The entire kingdom of heaven, the infinite allness of God, all that the Father has, is within you. Your job is to find the principles that you can rest in, that you can rely on, for that infinite invisible to manifest itself. And just like with that perfect companion, just like you had to come into the conscious awareness of your omnipresent companion, so you have to also have and realize consciously the infinite, invisible, spiritual substance that appears as supply. And so you go within your temple, and you become still, and you work with the principles. All that the Father has is mine. It is the Father within, the Father's good pleasure to give me its kingdom. This presence has come that I might have life, and life more abundantly, row upon row of goodness. And so I am going to rely on it. I know it doesn't make any sense, because I'm throwing my reliance on an infinite invisible. I can't even see it, hear it, taste it, touch it, or smell it. Yet I have already proven that that omnipresence is my companion and my companionship. And so now I'm going to rely on it as my supply. So now our prayers take on a different meaning. We go within. We ask, Father, Thou art my supply. Let me feel Your infinite, invisible, spiritual substance. Let it manifest. Father, form Yourself. I am still. I am a witness. Father, thy kingdom come. And we rest. We simply rest. And in our meditation, and in that moment of rest, we feel an infinite substance. We can't really define it. It's a feeling. It's a feeling. You couldn't describe it to your neighbor. But you feel this inner spiritual substance, and you know it's the Christ. You have nothing to base that on. It's just an intuitive feeling. And so you return again and again, determined to prove the principle. There is no supply out there. There is nothing to seek, nothing to gain, nothing to get, nothing to hoard, nothing to accomplish. I am a new creature in Christ. I turn within now. I stand still and see the glory of the Father. Father, glorify thyself. Let's see your supply, your form, your infinite spiritual substance flowing as itself. And then in the next day or two, in the next few weeks, we become aware. Of something that wants to flow through us. We find ourselves, we don't plan it, we find ourselves pouring out love. It's bubbling up from inside. I remember when it first started happening, it was a very strange experience. But I would be moved to do something for someone without a price tag, and sometimes without getting caught. In other words, anonymously. These feelings would just bubble up. Love was beginning to pour out. What did you think supply was? Did you think it was money? Did you think it was property? Investments? No. No. Supply is love. Love itself. Beautiful, pure love. The love of the Father. This companion that you know you have now. That companion is full of love. And the only supply you will ever demonstrate is that love as it flows through you. That is how it forms itself, my dear friend. And so you come within. You rest in your perfect companionship in that omnipresence itself. And you invite love, the love of that presence, to flow through. And you start pouring. You pour out love in kindly acts. Maybe you see someone not as well off as you and you give them something. Maybe you make an anonymous contribution somewhere. It's pouring out. You can't stop it. You didn't start it. You simply invited that presence to form itself. And guess what happens? You have opened the door to infinity. You've opened the door. And strange and wonderful and marvelous things start happening. It's really wonderful. You find yourself in the right place at the right time. Strange things, weird things happen. You go to your mailbox and there's somebody sending you some money that they say they owe you. Well, you've forgotten all about it. you meet somebody and there's an opportunity and you get involved and you make a really nice profit. There's an opportunity to be what you've always wanted to be. Here you had chosen this other career. It wasn't the right one. It was the one the human chose. Now God is manifesting itself, and an opportunity comes up, and you find out, oh, wow, I've always loved to do this, and people are going to pay me for this? Wow. Wow. You have opened the door . What did you think Christ meant when it said, I stand at the door and knock? Don't you understand? Listen. This I standing at the door knocking is that infinite omnipresent companion, full of love to flow out in endless supply through you to others, and then because of the bread cast on the waters from the universe to you. Don't you see you carry your perfect companionship and your perfect supply? You carry the presence of love, infinite love, omnipresent love. And now you're just about bowled over. You can't believe that how far off the world's concept of these things are. But you are a new creature in Christ. You're living as a new creature, aren't you? And everything is going along just dandy. And then, suddenly, one day you're stricken down with a physical problem. It could be disease, an ailment of some sort. Could be a hereditary problem. It could be an aging problem. But in one form or another, it's drawn to your attention that you don't feel so good. You've got some physical problems. And maybe you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, why, sure, that's this, that, and the other. We have treatments for that. All you have to do is apply this and take that and do this, and you'll be able to be relatively comfortable. Well, you say, but doc, isn't there any way to get rid of this? Well, he says, no, not really, but you can live with it. Well, something's wrong. Something's wrong, and you know it. So you go back to your temple, and you look for the principles. What have I missed? I missed something. Because the normal, natural human way is to find something out here which will treat your problem. There's nothing wrong with it. Everyone's doing it. It's not a crime. It's not morally wrong. Your intuition is screaming at you. You feel inside, wait, I'm a new creature in Christ. So what is the new way? What is the Christ way? Back you go into your temple because you know you can't find it from a book. Back you go inside your temple. You are still, you are quiet, you are resting in that presence of love. What is the way? And suddenly it comes to you, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And you stop? What? I am the life? Yes. I. That omnipresence of love. I am the life. Well, now this shocks you because you realize, well, wait a minute now. Well, wait a minute now. I've been living my own life. I thought I had my own body, my own mind. I was kind of prideful in how intelligent my mind is. I was kind of satisfied with how seemingly comfortable and functioning my body was. And yet I've done it again, haven't I? I was living a normal, natural human life. And so I've got to find out if this is not my body and my mind, well, who is it? What does it mean, I am the life? What does that mean? And so I go back to my temple, and I live with the principle. And it may be that every time I sit down, nothing will come to me to meditate on except I am the life. I have come that they might have life, and life more abundantly. One day I'm sitting in meditation, and for a moment I lose a feeling of a body or a mind of my own. For a moment I'm lifted up into and suspended in the midst of omnipresence itself. I feel omnipresence as if it's me and I am it. I am abiding in this infinite I, and this infinite I is abiding in me, and we are one life, eternal in the heavens. I feel it. It's a real experience. And I have the realization, oh, I am the life. I am the life. I don't have to try to do something out here to improve a mind or a body. I am the life. Infinite, invisible, eternal I. And so now I sit in my meditation and I invite that presence. Fulfill thyself. Manifest thyself. Live thyself. It's thy life, thy mind. Now let me be still. I in the midst of me am the way. Just flow. And I feel the omnipresence of love manifesting from the great unmanifested invisible. I feel it flowing, manifesting, pouring out, forming itself in ways I know not of. And it is enough to rest and be a witness. And with practice and coming again and again to the temple and opening the door, that the infinite may manifest its life, its mind, its substance, there is a point of transition. And suddenly I look and I realize, wow, what happened to that problem? It's disappeared. Or I found myself just eating different types of food than I ever ate before, and it disappeared. Strange, it just cleared up by itself. Or it appears to still be there, this problem, but there's no more symptoms. There's no more pain. There's no more limitation in any way. Yes, I know that the doctor said that you could never get rid of arthritis, but mine seems to have gone into remission. I don't quite understand it, but I can hop up these stairs, and last year I could hardly walk. Strange. But I am a new creature in Christ. I'm a new creature. And now we understand. I am a new creature in Christ. I am not the natural man living the normal human way of life. I do not look out here for companionship. I look nowhere out here for supply. I do not look out here for health. Now I have found how to live by the Scripture, and I simply take several periods a day, sometimes with eyes closed, sometimes with eyes open, and I abide in I in the midst of me. And I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life, and I abide in me. And so the Scripture was correct. The Christ was telling me the truth. Abide in me, and I abide in you. And I suppose we could end the story there, but we wouldn't have the complete picture, would we? Some of us stop there. We feel, now I have demonstrated companionship, I have demonstrated supply, I have demonstrated health. This truly is heaven on earth. And so we go about our lives and we enjoy the good, and we kind of even get a little cocky about it. Sometimes judgmental about people that haven't yet learned to live this way. It may be a fleeting thought, but there's a certain amount of pride in it. I have done all this. It's taken me years, hard work. And you are correct. Nothing wrong with it. And then one day we're going about our lives and suddenly there's some big tragedy. Something happens. It could be anything. It could be physical, financial, relationships. Something goes really wrong, or so it appears. And we're aghast at it. I mean, we can't believe it. What? Why? Why? I've been doing so well. I've practiced these principles to the best of my ability. I don't understand. How could you do this to me, God? Yeah, some of us blame God. But we know there's got to be the answer. It's got to be a spiritual answer. And so we look, and we look deep. And at this point, we go deeper than we ever have before. And we discover, well, how about that? I settled for good. I settled for a good, harmonious life on earth. And yet that wasn't the message and the master. That wasn't the message and the mission of the master. I have been coasting. I have been satisfied with a comfortable life. But what is the message of the master? You must be a new creature in Christ. You must abide in me, and I will abide in you. And so we look again, we meditate, perhaps we pick up the thunder of silence, and we read that cute little story, which we thought was just a cute story. You remember the story about the man who knocks on the door of heaven, and God says, "Who's there?" And the man says, "It's me." And God says, "Go away. Go away." What? The man doesn't understand it. He goes back and he meditates some more. Isn't that what we did in our lives? Each time we needed to find the hidden principles of companionship or supply or health. That's what we did, isn't it? We went back and we meditated some more, just like this man in the cute story. Again, after 10 years, he comes to the gates of heaven. He knocks again. God says, "Who's there?" And he says, "It's me. It's I." "Oh, go away. There's no room." What? And that's like us, isn't it? That's exactly our story. We've lived it. Now we understand, oh, this is not a cute story. This is a very deep spiritual principle, a spiritual truth. Those that continue to think it's a cute story aren't ready for it. But you're ready. Again, after 10 more years of meditation, he comes back, knocks at the door of heaven again, and God says, "Who's there?" And what does the man say in this story? "Thou art." And God says, "Come on in. There never was room for me and thee." Perhaps we begin listening to some deeper mystical teachings, and we begin to see we've settled. We've stood still on this path. Now we begin to look at some really deep things. We begin to sense, I of myself am nothing means exactly that. I of myself am nothing doesn't mean I'm nothing without you, but with you I can do this, that, and the other. It's not just a pretty little platitude. Well, yes, I myself am nothing, but with God, no. No, it... Who's there? Thou art. Perhaps we pick up realization of oneness and we read a chapter called No God And. You see, we've been kicked back into motion. We've been pushed back into action. We are walking the path once again. We are no longer standing still. We are beginning to suspect there is no personal self here. This entire personal life is a dream. there's no God and. And so we go deeper into our temple, much deeper, far deeper. And we make the discovery, this invisible, omnipresence, infinite love, eternal, immortal life. This is the only presence in the universe, and this is the only presence that I am. And maybe if we're fortunate, at this point we have a deep inner experience, as I had, as others have had, and as you will have. And in this experience, you disappear, and you're floating in the infinite, immortal Christ. You're floating in a sea of consciousness, and consciousness is living itself, and you have dissolved. It's a step beyond communion with that presence. It's not that presence and you communing together. There is only that presence right here, living itself as itself infinitely. And that presence is what I am. Yes. Yes, a new creature. That I am manifesting itself. Yes, abide in me, the I of the universe, and I live you. For there is no you, there is only I. Who's knocking? Thou art. And now you throw your entire dream of a human existence into the fire. You have a new principle. I am the way. I am the truth, the only truth. And I am the only life. And I am living myself. Be still. And know, I am you. There's nothing to pray at this point. You're out of words and thoughts. You're just an emptiness. You really are nothing of yourself. And so if there's any prayer at all, it's simply closing the eyes, resting back, and knowing, I in the midst of me am the way. And this I the great unmanifested, infinite, invisible, manifests as the infinite, invisible flesh, the spirit, and this spirit lives itself. Forms itself, flows forth, has its own agenda, its own idea, its own plan, its own way, and that way is the way of I. More and more, you are nothing but a consciousness in a state of beholding, a state of witnessing, I. infinite I. Now you are a member of the Great White Brotherhood. Now you are an instrument, a vessel, for infinite I to pour through, to manifest, to be, to is. What that will manifest as, you don't know, except that I have come that all might have life, and life more abundantly. You have come out and become separate now from the normal, natural, human way of living. You are a new creature as Christ. And Christ, the I in our midst, I am the way. And your witnessing, beholding, abiding in I, and I in you. At this point, there's nothing left to pray for. There's nothing to ask for, nothing to accomplish, nothing to attain. You are on earth, an open door. And through that door, I in the midst of you manifest myself, thyself, the only self. The I. Now, that which God had in mind from the beginning is manifesting. Now, you are the instrument for the Most High. Now eternal life walks as you. Now you are a new creature. You are invisible, incorporeal, infinite, eternal, divine spirit. And this is where the journey really begins. Because you see, it's an infinite journey. Now, all of this today that we have discussed has flowed through my consciousness after becoming still and inviting the infinite unmanifest to manifest itself. This talk today has the secret of eternal life. If you will follow the principles, live them, not only will you discover within yourself the hidden kingdom, you will discover your divine companion. You will discover the infinite love of supply. You will discover eternal spiritual substance of life. And most importantly, you will discover I in the midst of thee am thee. My beautiful friends, Godspeed, God's love, and God's infinite blessings. Thank you.